Also this week, a new technique to repair errors in DNA while leaving no trace has been reported in the journal Nature. The researchers have corrected an error that leads to an untreatable liver disease, and this technique could eventually lead to treatments for an extremely wide range of genetic illnesses. Joining us to explain more is Professor David Lomas from the Cambridge Institute for Medical Research. David, thank you ever so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, so first of all, what is this liver disease? What causes it and what are the symptoms?
So alpha-1 antitrypsin is a protein that's produced from the liver and it bathes all the tissues of the body. The role of the protein is to protect the tissues against enzyme damage. There is a genetic mutation in this protein that's found in 1 in 25 of the population, so 1 in 2,000 are homozygous, and it affects 30,000 people as homozygotes in the UK. So it's common. So this mutation causes the protein to misfold and accumulate within hepatocytes. That gives rise to liver disease, for which the only treatment is transplantation. Now, you imagine the lack of an important circulating protein means there's a lack of protection for the tissues. The lung is most susceptible, and these people will develop early onset emphysema, particularly if they smoke.
So it is a liver disease, but it also affects other systems.
Correct. The primary abnormality is the protein misfolding in the liver, accumulating in the liver, and then the secondary effect is on the lung.
And as you said, it's quite common, so it's obviously a good target for us to look at. So what have you done? What have you reported in this particular paper?
So what we're trying to do is to think of a different way of producing liver cells that one day may take over from the damaged cells within patients. So we started with my patients and we took a skin biopsy and we isolated the fibroblasts. We then reprogrammed these fibroblasts so they became stem cells. Now imagine these stem cells still have the genetic mutation. So we corrected the genetic mutation, and to give you some idea of the magnitude of the problem, we changed one or two base pairs in 6 billion, left the rest of them unchanged, and then having made that correction, we have a normal healthy stem cell. We differentiated those to liver cells, which now work beautifully in the test tube, and then we put them in mice, and we showed that they were viable in mice, and they produced the relevant liver proteins.
So your technique is sort of a genetic scalpel, as it were. You're going in there with extreme precision to cut open the DNA, take out the errors, repair it, and not leave a genetic scar.
Absolutely right. Molecular scalpel's a good description.
So what at the moment is stopping us from using this in humans? You've said that it seems to be very well received in mice. I understand you put them into mice with no immune system, so you don't get them rejected. Right. But quite often we've seen with stem cell research like this, that the cells don't really integrate properly. You might form tumours. Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of problems. So what's standing in the way now?
So there's two issues to highlight. The first is that the cells that we get from reprogramming look like liver cells and behave like liver cells, but are an immature version of the liver cell. And you can consider them as a fetal cell. That's a good way of looking at them. Now, they seem to function well in the mouse. They seem to produce the relevant proteins and they seem to integrate. But we don't know whether long term they can take over the function of a liver and they can repopulate and replace damaged liver cells. The second issue is that when you reprogram skin cells into stem cells and then differentiate them into hepatocytes, you collect point mutations in the genome. And from our sequencing, we've found about 24 point mutations. Now, we think, looking at the bioinformatics, that they're okay, that they're probably not going to have any effect. But you don't know for sure. The safety signal that we saw in these experiments is that when we put them in the mouse, 6 weeks later, they functioned normally. There didn't appear to be any malignant potential. But those two issues need to be addressed, particularly the last one, before we can move this through to clinical trials.
24 mutations doesn't actually sound like that many. I imagine there are far more just going from parent to child.
Exactly. But the problem is that we need to understand what they mean and what they do. And it's the context of the mutation that's important. So they may be fine. This may not be a problem in real life. However, we need to think about it very carefully. And that's one thing that we need to address as we develop our clinical studies.
I guess the reprogramming method it's a very artificial situation in which these mutations are forming. So they could be forming in regions that would otherwise be very well protected.
Correct. And it's just important to stress the safety side of these things. I mean, it's a nice story and we can go from skin, correct a genetic defect and come up with liver cells that appear to function beautifully. But if we're going to put them to patients, we need to develop strategies whereby we first of all do no harm. And the cells that we put in are not only viable and healthy, but they they won't have that malignant side effect.
What do you see as the future for this sort of technique? If you can pick out one or two bases in an entire genome, then surely you could do this for pretty much any genetic disorder.
That's correct. You can use this molecular scalpel for any genetic disease and you can correct the genome and leave the rest of the genome pristine. And that's the central part of the paper. So you can apply it to any genetic technique. It's then getting cells that are relevant and clean and viable and healthy that you can use in patients. So we're grappling with that. So having done this, we're trying to think, how can we put these through in patients in a safe way? And our next step, probably, because the grappling is still ongoing, but our next step is probably to encapsulate the cells in some way in a polymer mix, an alginate, which means that we can put it in the human body in a test environment whereby it's safe. So if the cells do develop a malignant potential, they won't escape beyond the capsule. And then we can retrieve the cells at a later date and show that they function normally and there's no malignant potential. And I think that stepping stone is quite important before we get through to clinical trials.
And that, of course, would show you how they behave in context with all of the other chemical factors around that would be there in a real situation.
Absolutely. And remember, of course, these have come from the individual that you're about to put them back into. So they have the same genome and theoretically there should be no requirement for immunosuppressive treatments. Because there should be no rejection.
Excellent. Well, that's extremely promising work. Thank you ever so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Professor David Lomas from the Cambridge Institute for Medical Research. And you can find that work in the journal Nature this week.